in this industry and we have knowledge and we're licensed and this is all we do. This is our business. We know how to read policies. So there, you know, we know how to maneuver the claim. So it's not getting held up. It's not getting flagged for this. Maybe you said a certain word that's now holding up the claim or delaying the claim, right? So it moves the claim quicker. So the funds for the investor come in quicker, right? Instead of 4, 5, 6 months, you're getting a check in a month.
Welcome. Have you stumbled into being a landlord and accidentally managing a property? Well, if life's thrown you that curveball, then thank yourself for finding the accidental landlord. Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Accidental Landlord. Today we have a public adjuster. So Andy is talking about insurance claims, which is everybody's favorite topic, but he shares a lot of good points on how the insurance company is really not your friend and what you can do to make sure that you get what's due to you if you have an insurance claim, because insurance companies notoriously deny claims, won't approve things. It's really difficult as the person that is the insured to get what you owe after you've paid premiums for years and years. So excited about what Andy brings to the table. Make sure you listen. He definitely gives some good tidbits on how he brings value to landlords. And it was interesting to me that he said roughly 50% of his business are property management companies and landlords. So take a listen. If you have any questions on it, you can always reach out to us. It's easy to get a hold of us, podcast@rinconmanagement.com. And we would love to hear from you if you have any feedback, but let's get into the show. Andy, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Peter. Appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, my pleasure. So we have with us, just for the sake of our listeners, Andy Gercheck. And Andy is a senior adjuster with All City Adjusting. Andy, why don't you take a couple minutes and introduce yourself and kind of your company and tell us a little bit about you.
Yeah. So I'm a licensed public adjuster. Home state is Indiana. We started actually in Illinois. Now we cover 14 states. Our company is All City Adjusting. And what we do is we represent the policyholder, whether it's a business owner, investor, a landlord, even a homeowner, against their own insurance companies, actually to settle their claims, negotiate them, and then make sure we max out their settlements for them.
Yeah, awesome. I'm excited to have you come on because obviously we deal with our clients and listeners are landlords. And, you know, every landlord who's been doing it long enough has had a fight with an insurance company at some point. So excited about getting into that. How did you get into this?
You know, I started off in the construction industry doing actually fire restoration and kind of restoration work. And then I met a PA. He was actually PA here in Illinois, 40 years in the industry. And then after a couple of years, he kind of took me under his wing and kind of mentored me and taught me the entire business that he knew. So yeah, kind of by luck and then kind of by just kind of pressing on for him to actually give me some time and actually teach me the industry. So.
Gotcha. Awesome. So for the sake of our listeners, what is a public adjuster and, you know, kind of what role do they play?
That's a licensed person in the state they're working in who can represent the policyholder. So there's a staff adjuster, an independent adjuster, and then the public adjuster is one that can represent you. He can only work on your claim on your behalf, and he can negotiate, speak policy language, and do everything that pertains to your claim and your policy.
Gotcha. And why is this needed? Is why you have your insurance company, right?
Correct.
They're on your side. They're on your side to take care of you, or
you would think so, right? I just finished a call. I actually came in from the lady that worked with the carrier for 20. She's been with an insurance company working as an adjuster for 20 years. She's working for a different carrier, but still had the same insurance she had where she worked at the previous job. And she called me because she's been fighting the insurance for 5 months. And she's like, you know, I do this for a living and I can't believe I'm going through this. And she called for our help. So it doesn't matter. You have to remember that the insurance company is a business, right? They have a bottom dollar. The less they pay out, the better for them, the better their books look, especially for companies that are on the stock market. So it all comes down to the bottom dollar. So no one's got really your interest, right? The adjuster works for them. The vendors work for them. Everyone works for them. So everyone's looking out for them. Everyone's getting bonuses from them. No one's on your side. And then people usually call sometimes when it's too late, which is the most unfortunate part.
What's your advice if a homeowner or in our case, a landlord has a claim or they think they have a claim? Should they be calling an adjuster first or should they go to their – what's the ideal scenario of how that would play out?
Yeah. You any investor, landlord should have a PA on their team. Just like you have an attorney, just like you have a real estate agent, contractors, you should have a PA. For our clients, when they call us, we'll go inspect the loss. If it's water, if it's fire, whatever, we'll inspect it. And then we'll make sure to tell them if they have to mitigate it, if, or if they even have to file a claim. Sometimes a claim, if we know the policy and the deductible is very high or think something's not covered, you know, we put them in the right situation to make sure that claim, if it, we're going to go and pursue the claim, that it gets paid quickly, fairly, and it gets the max settlement.
Why is it, if, let's say you have a high deductible, $30,000, yes, and the incident is going to be less than that. Can it hurt you for filing a claim on something that you're not going to get any coverage on?
It doesn't, well, does it hurt you? They say that it never hurts you having claims, you know, and that whole myth of if you have a claim, it raises your premium. That's false. Mm-hmm. That's, you can't raise your premium based on one claim. But if you show so many claims, let's say you filed one, it's under your deductible, and a month later, you actually have another one, and then maybe another one 3 months later. Well, now you had three in a year. They'll most likely drop you.
Gotcha. So there is an impact. It doesn't necessarily mean your rates are going up automatically.
Correct.
But, okay.
Yeah, rates go up every year, no matter if you have claims or not. That's just the norm.
Yeah, for sure. I have, I don't want to say a love-hate, probably a hate-hate relationship with insurance companies. Because we, in our professional world, we own a property management company, and we manage hundreds of properties, and inevitably we have claims going at any one time, you know, multiple claims, and they're just a pain to deal with, and rarely do I see the insurance company looking out for their policyholder. It's almost always the opposite. They're, you know, not trying to pay what it's, you know, what they should be paying, or just flat out denying the claim, which I feel like they play games. And like you said, it's a business and they're trying to do their best for their shareholders, which is absolutely in direct conflict with their policyholders, which is crazy. But
you use the word right word, Peter. You use the right word, games. It's a game. They like delay the claim, delay, delay, delay. And if they can push you to squeeze you when you're just like, I'll accept what they're giving me, because most people don't know there is a PA. There's actually an option that you have someone to go to. So they'll delay you, and then they'll either deny you or just flat out keep delaying it even further, or just really underpay you and then just not answer from you. I mean, there's so many tactics they use. Yeah. These days, they're using engineers. They're sending all these consultants to like prolong the claim and get all these like engineers. Like, what's an engineer doing on the roof?
Yeah.
If you think about it, right? But they're using them. They're using them. Now I just got a call from Florida on a claim where we had agreed everything with the insurance adjuster. And now the adjuster said two weeks ago, he just told me today that they're going to be sending an engineer for what? Well, they got to determine what's flood, what's surge damage, what's wind damage. So now the engineer won't be there for a month. By the time his report's in is another month. So now you're looking at 2 months. For what? It's obvious what was flood. Flood was, you know, you could tell. It's just the tactic. Yeah. It's a game.
Yeah, which is a bummer because, you know, that nobody wants that. What is there any stats out there on average claims that are paid with a public adjuster and someone representing themselves? Is there a difference in the stats?
Yeah, I think actually on our website, we have the statistics. There's not much. Obviously, when it comes to insurance and claims and how much, you know, there's really nowhere to report it. We're trying to get as much as data on our own claims. We have a little, I know on our website there is how much more, I forgot the percentage, but it's quite extensive of how much more you're getting with a PA than without. I mean, we look at, and for us, it's free to look at a claim. If you say, hey, Andy, can you look at a claim one? Like, let's say it's one that you already started, you're already in the process, and people call us first time, and then we'll look at the claim. And we'll tell them, can we help? Like, oh, or, you know, is there something, or we can't help? But I got to look at a claim and make sure we can bring value if we're going to take a claim on.
Gotcha. And let's just say you take a claim on. Well, how does it work? Who pays for your services? What does that look like?
Yeah. Our flat fee in most PAs is usually standard is 10%. And it ranges from there. It can go up from 10 to 15 to 20, depending on the claim or less. But it's paid on when the total claim is settled. That's when we collect our fee. Now, if there's an instance where you already had a claim and let's just say they gave you 10,000 and we look at it and we say, okay, well, we think we can bring you another 10,000-15,000, then we might charge a higher percentage just on the new money that we recover. So whatever you've already recovered or they paid you, that would, you know, we don't charge on that.
Gotcha. So in aggregate, you're looking for roughly 10% or so.
Always 10% gotcha. is kind of where we want to be at.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. And in your experience, you're getting more money for your clients. So essentially, they're coming out ahead no matter even with your fee.
I mean, you pay our fee. You could pay our fee and do the job two or three times, that same job.
Yeah, it's so it's a no-brainer.
It's a no-brainer. And the time you save, the time, the frustration, the amount of money you recover, it's a win-win.
Let's talk about the time you save, because that's a big deal to investors, right? Like how much, you know, of their day or their available energy has to be dedicated to this. So we have a big flood at a property. We hire you. I mean, normally, you know, you're meeting adjusters out there, estimates, bids, all that stuff. What is it that you, what kind of leverage will you provide to the client?
Correct.
In the form of like time savings.
Yeah. Understand. We, because we're in this industry and we have knowledge and we're licensed and this is all we do, this is our business, we know how to read policies. So there, you know, we know how to maneuver the claim. So it's not getting held up. It's not getting flagged for this. Maybe you said a certain word that's now holding up the claim or delaying the claim, right? So it moves the claim quicker. So the funds for the investor come in quicker, right? Instead of 4, 5, 6 months, you're getting a check in a month and you can get the work done and either flip that property or rent it. Now, if it's a long process, well, then we make sure we get you, you know, business interruption or loss of income. But the time you save, On a certain claim, on a flood claim, on a smaller claim, you know, you're looking 5-10 hours into a claim a week.
Yeah,
it goes in a lot of work.
Does the client themselves have to interact with the insurance company once you come on board, or do you do all the interaction with the insurance
company? No, Peter. Once we get hired, we do all the discussion. Technically, the insurance company is not even supposed to call or discuss anything with the insured. They will do it. Some states are different than others. But no, we discuss the entire claim, policy language, estimates, everything.
Yeah, that's interesting. So I know in our case, like how does that work? Because we are a third party management company and we manage on behalf of our client. If there's a claim that's made on a property we manage, technically it's the owner of the policy that makes the claim. I don't think there's anything that would say we couldn't introduce you, and it just gets a little convoluted with who's doing what, because we typically quarterback all the activities around a claim. Yeah. Any experience in that scenario?
100%. 50% of our clients, more than 50 at this point, are management companies and associations. Okay. So with management, so it's very simple with management companies. As long as their client feels that they want to, you know, they want a PA, and most do, because once they hear all the benefits, it's like you said, it's a no-brainer. So then the insured is still the insured, which is the person that owns the property. But then the management company is usually on the check as well, and they keep the management company in the loop, and then we're the ones handling the entire claim.
Gotcha. No, that makes a lot of sense. We had a guest on the podcast who was an attorney, for several insurance companies defending the insurance company with claims. She then went out into private practice and now defends the insured. What's the difference between what, you know, an attorney would do representing a client in a claim and what a public adjuster would do?
Correct. So an attorney is when it's time for a legal battle. We settle our claims without going legal. If, you know, if you want to go legal, you're looking at a 2-3 year process and you're looking at a, you know, fee that's 3 times, 4 times higher than our fee. And then usually we get the call anyways to provide all the documents from the attorneys.
Gotcha. So it's your position really that if it's just a straight claim that you have coverage for, it's not necessarily worth going with an attorney unless you're going to file a lawsuit.
Yeah, claims don't need an attorney unless you're denied or you know there's something very serious, or we have a claim, you know, for months that's going on and the insurance company is just flat out. Like we have a couple that, I mean, it's just bad faith and there's just the way they've handled the claim is super bad. And there's nothing else we can do. We fought all we could. The only other option is legal. So then the only other, the only avenue you have is an attorney.
And now a word from our sponsors.
The Accidental Landlord is brought to you by Rincon Property Management, the most trusted property management company in Ventura County, California. Rincon Property Management is proud to focus on providing property owners with the education and resources they need to make the most informed decisions about their rental property possible. Visit the website at www.rinconmanagement.com to visit their learning hub, navigate through a variety of educational videos, and receive advice from the experts.
What percentage of your claims do you think ever make it to that level?
5%. About 5% of them. So not many. We don't like taking our, I mean, Because the Midwest, especially the states we started in, Indiana, Illinois, Ohio, Wisconsin, the laws favor the insurance companies more than the insured themselves. So there isn't any, punitive damages and all this attorney fees that you can claim. So the insurance companies know this. So we technically didn't have that like cushion of, hey, if this claim doesn't work, we could just send it to an attorney in some other states. That's all that happens. So we really work our claims till we've exhausted every option.
Gotcha. So how often does an insurance company deny the claim when you're a public adjuster's on it? Do they know kind of like, oh, this person actually knows what they're doing, maybe we shouldn't deny it? Or do you, what's your experience with
we've
that?
We've never had a claim denied while we were working on it from the beginning. Denials is claims we've come on. So like people have called us because their claim has been denied. Before this podcast, had a lady in Sacramento that called her claim denied. She had a water pipe leak from the dishwasher. The adjuster told her he was paying for it. 2 weeks later, she has a letter that she's been denied because the water was running for more than 14 days.
What'd you guys do that? I just
spoke with her, so have to get a little bit more information. But again, they came back when adjuster told her on site that, yeah, there's no mold. I can see that this is new water, fresh water. They just, it just burst. It just leaked. And then it comes back that they send her this exclusion that the water was leaking for 14 days.
Yeah. What do you do to go fight that? Cause that's actually relatively common that I see. It's like they almost always want to go to, this is a maintenance issue that's been going on for a long time.
Wear and tear, maintenance, mirroring. Yeah. All these terms they use. Correct. We see them all. This is very simple. If she has to send me and supply me information, photos, any documentation she had from the plumber or the dishwasher, and that way we take all that, together and see, okay, yeah, we have a chance here to get this claim overturned. Again, if I see photos or I see something on the photos or documentation from a plumber or the person that fixed the dishwasher that shows me that, maybe this was leaking, then it wouldn't be a claim. We would help. Doing our due diligence is a big part of being a PA. Making sure that, if you're going to take a claim, you can actually help the insured. Because if you're just going to take a claim and hope it gets paid and do nothing for 3-4 months, then you just wasted not only your time, but the insured's time.
Yeah. So what if you are not successful? Do you not collect a fee?
There's no fee. We only collect a fee. A PA only collects a fee just like an attorney. It's on contingency. So once the claim is settled and once the claim is paid.
Gotcha. So we're in Southern California, and I was on your website earlier, and you clearly operate in California, and you have an interesting perspective because you operate in multiple states. What is the environment in California compared to other places that you operate in?
When we came into California, I was under the assumption that the insurance companies were a little bit more proactive, but it's not been the case at all. Actually, every claim we've had in California, it's like the process has been so delayed or the adjuster's just not answering anything. Like we just had one. We were for like over a month, we're emailing the adjuster supervisors like, hey, this fire is 100,000, not 20,000. And there's been no contact. Then yesterday we received a call from one of the managers saying sorry, and she's apologizing, and we're going to get this straightened out. So it just depends. But in terms of law, the policyholder definitely is better situated than in other states, has more protection. The DOI, they're looking out a little bit more better than California than other states, I would say.
So the law is more favorable to the insured in California than other states?
I would say so. Comparing it to, for example, Illinois, Indiana. Yes.
Okay. So not as
friendly as like Texas or Florida or even Colorado. So
gotcha. That lines up because California is very pro tenant. And I mean, you could easily draw a line between, like the insured and a tenant, and it makes sense. Like we California definitely favors regulation and taking care of tenants.
But so you would think that, but that's the same in Illinois, for example, right? It's a very tenant-friendly state. And you would think, and it's the way the state is handled, you would think it's very consumer-friendly. And it's the total opposite.
Yeah, makes sense too.
Yeah, each state is...
State by state, yeah.
And when it comes to laws and stuff, I kind of stay away from any laws or legal stuff. That's not... We don't practice law. We're only looking at the policy, the claim, and everything we know in regards to the claim. So
in working with management companies or landlords, 50% of your business, what mistakes do you see landlords make when it comes to insurance? Like what tips can you have to give our listeners to have better outcomes when it comes to this?
First of all, making sure you have the right agent and you have the right coverage. From a lot of the podcasts we have been on, we've gotten a lot of emails and calls from investors and landlords and to review their policies, which we do all the time. We'll review their policies, we'll see the property and make sure they have the right coverage. And that's not our job, but I'm more than happy since we spend most of the time interpreting policies. But having a good agent and make sure your property is insured and you have the right coverages is the first step. Second step is when you do have a claim, you know, if you're not going to use a PA and you want to do it on your own, great. Make sure you know what you're telling them and what kind of claim. Because if you call them and, you know, people say, well, I had flood damage. Okay. Flood damage is denied. That's not covered unless you're in the flood zone and you have flood insurance. But people think that a pipe burst or sewer backup is flood. They use the word flood when it's not covered loss, or they use the word mold. You know, I see mold growing. You know, it's not covered. You know, water's been leaking into my house for a week. Okay. Well, that's not covered either. So just knowing what to say is kind of the most important thing when you're calling the claimant, because it all starts from that initial call.
Are they recording all your calls when you call an insurance company?
100%. Yeah. Yep, yeah. 100%. They're recording and they're taking everything. You know, they take all that into consideration. Oh, well, the insured said this when we get involved and I'll speak with the adjusters. Like, well, I remember talking to the adjuster on this day and this is what they said. And I'm like, damn it, I didn't know that one.
Yeah. So, I mean, because we deal with this. We deal with this in some respects, obviously a different area. Like there's plenty of people who want to manage their property on their own and not hire a professional management company. And it's not that you can't do it, because you can. People do it all the time. It's not that you can't make a claim on your insurance policy without a public adjuster, because you absolutely can. But it's you don't speak the language. You don't run in those circles. You're going to make a mistake, and mistakes cost money, time, money, headache, all of that. It's no different than because we unwind a lot of mistakes that someone who manages their property on their own, you know, they'll come to us once there's a problem, and it's really expensive and hard to unwind problems. It's way better just to prevent them in the beginning. Very similar to hiring a public adjuster before you go try to get into a fight with your insurance company. So that's interesting. Yeah. Couldn't agree more. A lot of people, we won't manage, like in our management company, we won't manage a property for somebody if they don't have the correct insurance in place. And they have us added to the policy as an additionally insured.
Yep. We see that a lot.
Party.
Yes.
Because, yeah, a lot of people who don't do that, they're asking for trouble when there is a problem. And I've been through a lawsuit where insurance company denied a lawsuit. It was a habitability lawsuit that was totally frivolous, but we were added correctly to the policy and the insurance company defended us as the third party management company and the insured. And we prevailed in it. But if you don't have the correct policy in place, that's a problem. So,
yeah, if you don't know, you know, we have rentals, you know, me and my wife have our own rentals. I was in construction. So to me, you know, we don't have that many where I manage mine. But I know the more we look into bigger stuff and bigger units, whether it's a big Airbnb or big multi-unit complexes, you know, that's, I wouldn't even think to hiring, whether Airbnb, you know, when you're using Airbnb, they have companies, they handle those. I've already talked to them, you know, and it's, you know, for the fee, the amount and what they do is totally worth it. But some people get so hung up on fees and the little percentages, they don't see the bigger outcome.
Yeah, this is an area that I care about. So I think ultimately what it boils down to is they're not valuing their time. They're undervaluing their time. And like in our case, like, well, I'm going to save that $200 management fee and I'm going to do it myself, when in their profession, maybe they're a doctor or a lawyer or some high paid profession and they're getting paid $500 an hour. Yep. Well, they're going to go waste time doing tasks that they shouldn't be doing that they could easily outsource. And if they just put that same effort into their profession or into, if you're an investor, into going to find other deals, other properties to buy, it's a much better use of your time. Same principle applies in your business. I could go fight with the insurance company for 10 hours a week and make 10 hours less to do what I do in my professional world, or I could just hire you and you're going to get me more money anyway, and I don't have to do anything. That seems like a win-win. So,
and unless you have experience in estimate writing, experience in construction, experience in code language and policy interpretation, you have no chance. Yeah. Like I said, the lady that just called, she was with the insurance company and she's fighting them for 5 months. And she knows everything because she works for them.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's wild. So I will say this. So I don't hear of a PA being a part of someone's team. Like when you think of a real estate investor, their team typically is you know, a lender, a broker, a property manager, you know, these type of people. I rarely do I hear them talk about public adjusters, but speak to that a little bit on why that's, or maybe it's just I haven't been exposed to it, but how do, like, if you have a high performing investor, where does the PA fit in when there's not like a claim going on, or how does that work?
Yeah, I mean, that's what we're trying to change here, Peter. We're trying to make sure that we are part of those teams and that you do have a PA on our team. There is a couple investors that I discussed that actually, two large claims, I don't want to go all into history, but they're actually, they were telling their students, because the students called and said, hey, I have a claim. You know, my mentor, when I was learning, told me that I need a PA on my team. I'm like, wow, it's rare that you hear that. So we're trying to change that. Having a PA on your team doesn't cost you anything. You're not paying hourly fees. You're not paying maintenance fees. You have someone that's on your team that you literally can call day and night, especially if you have a good PA. Right? Again, because some, just like management companies or PAs or any other industry, there's good and bad. And there's more, sure. There's certain PAs that handle certain claims and ones that handle other claims. But you have that person you could call, advice about insurance policy. Do we have the right coverage? Hey, this person moved out. Should we change our policy? You know, it's free. It doesn't cost you anything. And then that, when you do have a claim, you're just maximizing everything. So,
yeah, it makes a ton of sense. I'm going to look into this more seriously on our end too.
And we do have free claim review, Peter. Like, so when we started 10 years ago, you know, to get our name and stuff, we would do free claim reviews, or we'd get claims for free to show, like, you know, bigger clients, like, hey, let us help you with this claim. And if it turns out, we just want to make sure that we can work other claims for you, just to show people, like, and then people are like, holy smokes, we got a lot more money. I'm like, I know.
I tried to tell you that, right?
Yeah. And you'll always, that 10%, like I said, even if it's PA, I used to clients, we could charge 30, 40, and you're still in a better situation if you didn't have us.
Is 10% kind of the industry standard for PAs?
That is the industry standard. But now PAs are even charging 15, 20%. Just because we work in so many states, some states cap PAs at 10%. So we've just kind of accepted that model of 10% across every state.
Gotcha. What does California do on the fee side?
I don't think they cap PAs. There is no cap. So PA can charge whatever fee. Management companies, so a couple of our management clients that have really large, like, we have a hotel chain. So what we'll do is we'll scale down our fee. So as the claim, we have a pay scale with them. So as the claim goes up, our percentage goes down, actually.
Gotcha. Andy, this has been great. If our listeners have more questions or want to get in contact with you guys, what's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, best way, you could go on our website, www.allcityadjusting.com. I'm also leave my phone number. If your listeners want to call, they can call me directly. My number is 708-655-4186. Yeah, they can call me directly. They can email info@allcityadjusting.com. But type in our name in Google, you'll find our podcast, you'll find articles we've written on how to handle claims. If you go on our website, we even have a free how to handle your claim PDF booklet. So,
gotcha. Awesome. Well, this has been great. It you've provided a ton of value for our listeners, and I wish you all the best in what you're doing.
Thank you, Peter. You guys, I appreciate it. Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it.
For more information about me and the team behind this show, please go to rinconmanagement.com/podcast. And you can also find the links there to follow us on social media. Want to send a message to our team? Please email us at podcast@rinconmanagement.com. Then turn into every episode as we help you become an accident-free accidental landlord.